Dear friends, I'm introducing David Carrico's radio program. David interviews a former Southern Baptist pastor named Pierce Dodson. I met Pastor Dodson personally and listened to his testimony in 1993. The Southern Baptist Convention was famous since former President Clinton and President Carter were members. President Carter left the church claiming it was not his kind of Christianity. Pastor Dodson resigned because Freemasons had infiltrated the Southern Baptist Convention and became so powerful that he found it necessary to resign because he was not one of them. His testimony is in two segments of 15 minutes each, and this is the second segment.
So right now I am serving a church as an interim pastor. I am not a pastor presently. What my future holds at this point, I really don't even know. But I think my situation gives some insight on how Freemasonry can so impact a local church body if one will give credence to this lady's vision. Then she says that Satan was gripping that church. Now later, as the pressure mounted in this church, I found out after I resigned that one of the prominent members said that he was hearing a lot of the talk in the community as they came in his place of business. He'd come home one day and told his wife, he said, "This thing is just about ready to blow up." So I was sitting on a powder keg. And Masonry, the loyalty and allegiance that most of the men feel to the lodge, I think has its roots in the spiritual character of Freemasonry. Now, Freemasonry, its official propaganda denies that it's a religion. But obviously, any intelligent person that reads their literature sees the double talk, because it's obviously a religion, it's a false religion, it's an antichrist religion. And the disclaimer that it makes in its propaganda that it's not a religion is easily seen to be false when one studies the writings of Masons themselves. You don't have to look at the anti-Masonic writings, which are quite numerous, but you can just read the Masonic official literature and found out that even some of its own writers acknowledge, sure, it's a religion. And, you know, I would come back and say, well, if it's not a religion, why do you have all these, why do you have an altar, why do you have the head of your lodge called the worshipful master, why do you use so much religious terminology, why do you have funeral services, and so forth. So, at any rate, David, my story gives some insight to how a church can be so influenced by an organization that's supposedly, you know, Christian, and it's not, but here again it goes back to the propaganda.
So what you're telling me, Pierce, you, because of the stand you took on Freemasonry, you not only made yourself enemies and restricted your ability to function as pastor of your own church, but you've also more or less labeled yourself within your denomination.
Absolutely.
And you've put a tag, you know, Pierce Dodson is anti-Masonic,
right.
And now you've made your enemies throughout the entire denomination.
Absolutely. As people come to realize that this is my stand, if a church has any Masons in it at all,
mm-hmm.
then they're going to probably be contacted by Masons in these other communities where I've been. You would not believe the hostility that is aroused. And here again, I'm painting with a broad brush.
Mm.
Thankfully, not all Masons are as closed-minded as many are. Some are willing to, you know, to really look at the facts and all. But many are very closed-minded. What I saw in the church I was in that I resigned, David, is that they were scared to death of the truth,
mm-hmm.
scared to death that I was going to go to the church and tell what I knew about Masonry. So I saw a fear on the part of the Masons that I might go public and reveal the barbaric oaths that they take, which no Christian should ever participate in, the horrendous, very blasphemous oaths that are taken by Masons. That in itself should be enough condemnation that a Christian should sever his relationship if he has been duped into joining the lodge. That ought to be enough. You couple that with the name used in the Royal Arch degree, Jobulon, which is just a composite name, mixing the name of Jehovah God with two pagan gods, or in the Knights of East and West, 17th degree of the Scottish Rite, it is said that the name of God is Abaddon. Well, any Christian ought to look in Revelation 9:11 and see that if that's the name of the God of the Lodge, then he as a Christian should not be associated with it, because Abaddon is not the name of the true and living God. Maybe another name for Satan. Certainly,
yeah.
He is said to be the chief angel of the pit. It's certainly not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, so, I think that would give a little credence to Walter Martin's term, metaphysical Satanism.
Absolutely. The lady's vision that I described certainly gives further credence in a very, you know, real-life setting.
Right.
That here, Freemasonry, I call it, David, the Trojan horse of the church.
Yes.
I believe, as, let's see, what's his name? Jack Harris has said in his book, Freemasonry, the Invisible Cult in Our Midst, that Freemasonry is the only cult that you can belong to and still belong to a local church.
Right.
So it has served a very unique purpose. If you belong to one of the other religious cults of our day, you would not be in an evangelical church. But you can belong to this organization and still get in a church. And then, especially as the numbers of Masons in the church increase, then you've really got a problem. And in the Deep South, this is a serious problem. My denomination is to some degree, afraid of addressing it. Part of the fear is because of the intimidation aroused by the Masons. Part of the fear has to do with money, the loss of possible loss of money if we address this problem, and on we could go. But it is an issue that if we are going to have the integrity, wisdom, courage, and love of God and man that we must have, we've got to address it. We have no choice. We have got to deal with this problem. And I believe it's on God's agenda.
Yeah.
I don't believe
right.
that it's just my little hobby horse, or that of a layman in my denomination by the name of Dr. Larry Hawley. I believe it's on God's agenda, and he is going to have his churches confront this problem, which heretofore, by and large, had gone unnoticed. I believe God is alerting his churches that we have allowed a corrupting influence in our midst, and it must be dealt with.
Yes, God wants his church purged from idolatry.
Absolutely.
And God is calling people to take a stand against this terrible, terrible evil. Now, we're running down on time here, Pierce, and I want you to talk about, I believe there was an incident when some of these Masons came in and confronted you in your church.
All right, this was after I had left the other church and had gone to another place of service where I was not actually pastor, but an interim pastor. One Wednesday night, Mason showed showed up in the service, and just almost like on cue, they got up and sort of came to the front of the sanctuary.
How many of them were there?
There were, I think, five.
Five Masons.
And one of them pointed his finger at me and, you know, falsely accused me of being a troublemaker and so forth. I think in this particular church I'm referring to where this happened, the Masons hurt themselves. One or two of the men that came, of the Masons that came that night, never cared enough about the Lord or the church to come on Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
But as one of the members later told me, he said, well, the Lord couldn't get them to church, but the lodge did.
Yeah.
So you can see the strong attachment, the very inordinate grip that this organization, I believe that grip is a spiritual one, and Satan is behind that grip. And so these, you know, these men were offended because they knew where I stood on Freemasonry, and they have vilified me, the slander, the gossip. They and others that have allied themselves with this organization in the church. But they were also upset because I had shown a videotape produced by Jeremiah Films on Freemasonry, and they said that it was just full of lies. The interesting thing is none of them had even seen it.
Yeah.
But here again, it Satan is scared of truth.
Mm-hmm.
And as you deal with Freemasonry, begin to shine the light of God's Word upon it. That's why you get such a severe reaction sometimes to it, is because you are dealing with the powers of darkness, and you are bringing the Word of God, the light of the Gospel, to bear on the errors and the evil of Freemasonry. And so this is why, as I say, the reaction is so strong. I might even move from that real quickly, David. I want to make this point to your listeners. If we in our day would just be better students of history, the late 1820s, early 1830s, there was a tremendous reaction against Freemasonry in America. There was a presidential party in 1832, anti-Masonic party, carried the state of Vermont, garnered thousands and thousands of votes in that presidential election. Masonry, it is reported, lost about 45,000 members during that particular period of history, left less than 10,000 members. I would just challenge your listeners, do some research, and you'll see that really this position against Freemasonry is not just some Johnny-come-lately position. Christians have historically held to the incompatibility of Christianity and Freemasonry. In fact, even though Masons love to refer to the various presidents that are Masons, I would give your listeners a quote from none other than President John Quincy Adams, who said, I saw a code of Masonic legislature adapted to prostrate every principle of equal justice and to corrupt every sentiment of virtuous feeling in the soul of him who bound his allegiance to it. He said, a conspiracy of the few against the equal rights of the many, anti-Republican in its sap, from the first blushing of the summit of the plant to the deepest fiber of its root. Notwithstanding these horrid oaths and penalties of which a common cannibal would be ashamed. And that came from President John Q. Adams. And if just the Christian public would just look at American history, we would find that brothers and sisters in Christ have historically, in a day gone by, stood against this. And I believe in our day we must do so.
And we'd have the same results today after, in the 1830s, when the murder of Captain William Morgan was revealed, and Charles Finney and a lot of others had a great revival. It brought revival because the church was purged from idolatry. And at that time, you'll also notice that when the Masons were almost totally driven out of the Baptist church, then is when Masons started founding cults, like the Jehovah Witness, founded by the Mason, Charles Taz Russell, like the Christian Science, founded by the wife of a Mason, Mary Baker Eddy. And the Masons are very quick to tell you about the prominent Americans, that presidents and so forth that were Masons, but they're not so quick to tell you about Aleister Crowley, the Satanist, Gerald Gardner, the witch, Alex Saunders, the witch, and you could go on and on and on with these sordid occult figures that have been Freemasons.
Yes, it's an interesting study, David, when you find the strange bedfellows It's not so strange when you understand the philosophy and theology
right.
of Freemasonry. But the bedfellows that that Freemasons lie with, I would say this, David, before I close, that I would appeal to my preacher brethren. I would say, study this issue. It's not a peripheral one. It's vital to evangelism. It's vital to revival in our day. And I would also call to your listeners' attention the very likely, at least certainly possible, prophetic angle. It is reputed that George Bush is a Mason. And people need to know, when he talks about a new world order, we ought to sit up and take notice. And there are various people that really believe there is an elite inner circle at the very highest levels of Freemasonry that want to bring about a one-world government. And I just think that for people that say, well, this Masonry bashing and this Masonry problem is not all that serious, or at least I don't have to worry about it because maybe my denomination, it's not a problem, I would say you need to look at the bigger picture, because if indeed this fits into the prophecy picture, then it's going to impact us all.
Amen.
And we better all be alerted to this situation and have the courage to deal with it. So I would just say to all our listeners that, hey, please take note. This is not an unimportant matter. This is vital to the strength and health of our churches. And I would want all Masons to know I love them. I'm not anti-Mason. I am just anti-Masonry. And I make that distinction because I love the men and the women that belong
right.
to its various organizations.
Pierce, we're out of time, and we're just going to say thank you very much for giving your testimony. God bless you. We appreciate your courage, and we'll be talking to you later on.
David, people, to stand up for the truth, to do it in a loving fashion, I think that's important.
Amen.
And when we do it in the Spirit of Christ Jesus our Lord, then I believe that as we take this stand, we can help many people be set free.
Friends, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and wish to be in the rapture, say this prayer with me right now, okay? It will be available on Cephas-Radio.com in case you can't follow it. Cephas, Cephas-Radio.com. Our Father, who art in heaven, thank you for giving up your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who was the only one who was without sin, and able and willing to take the penalty for all our sins by shedding his blood, so we can be assured that he paid the penalty in full. He said the following before he died on the cross, "It is finished." God, Father, I humbly come before you and ask for forgiveness for my sins. I repent of them. I wish to become your child, born again of the Holy Spirit, who will be my teacher, my comforter, and my connection to you, Father God. I believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God. I wish to make him my Lord and Savior forever. Amen. This commitment will change me, and goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23:6. Remember, God is in control and allowing his word to be fulfilled when the time is right. Our assignment is to keep you informed as to not be deceived. Satan comes in a perfect coat. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Mark chapter 13, verse 22, "For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect." The elect have the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. Jesus taught in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Time is up. Celebrate our 25th anniversary with us at CephasThriftShop.com. CephasThriftShop.com. We are selling our inventory at a 90% discount, books, DVDs, CDs, and etc. The DVDs and CDs are originals and new, and the books are described. Join our monthly newsletter free at go-cephas.com. My email address is r421@earthlink.net. Thanks for listening, and tell your friends about us. God bless you, and hope to share with you next week. Shalom, Rita Williams.